You've never heard of. That was our topic. Minhagim of the Seder and Chodesh Nisan you've never heard of, so we've gone through a few of them. Let us continue where we left off. Okay, the next minig is, anyone here like to eat lentils? Lentils, kidney ice, right? Kidney ice. There's a minog. It's brought in the Machzik Bracha not to eat Adoshim. No, it's brought in, where's it brought? It's brought in the Yosef Eimetz. Not to eat lentils the entire Chodesh Nisan. This really is a continuation we just said in the Halacha section that Chodesh Nisan, there is no Tachnun. We didn't get to the point. There's no Hespedim. Now let it fast. It's not a month of Avelus. And being that Adoshim is associated with Avelus, we know that from the earliest source. Who is the first one to eat Adoshim? Yaakov. When Avraham... When Avraham Avinu died, when he died, what was the choice? What was the food of choice to capture the Avelus? Adoshim, lentils, and it was through the lentils that Yaakov purchased the firstborn right from Esav. He was preparing lentils to serve a Sudas Havra for his father Yitzchak in mourning for his grandfather Avraham Avinu. Okay, Rabbi said, please, it's very hard for me to compete. So the lentils is a food of Avelim. Therefore, since Chodesh Nisan is supposed to be a very happy month, B'Nisan Negalu V'Nisan Nasin Ligal Chodesh Nisan is a very happy month. It's the first month of the year. The Mela lentils are not sold in pomegranates, or in Glatmart, or in Meishes, or wherever you shop. Lentils are off the shelf. That's what it says over here. Did anyone observe that? I never heard anyone observing the goal of here is to tell you Minhagim you've never heard of. Okay, next interesting minhag. Maybe there's a little bit of a limut. At least, you know, the purpose of learning about these minhagim that you never heard of is, well, like, you know, also I went to one time a book on schoolists. I'm the last guy in the world. What?
Sensitivity.
Not only sensitivity. Forget about the sensitivity. That's also an idea. But it if there is such a minhag, obviously there's something to learn from it. You don't have to do it because we're not accustomed to doing these minhagim with schoolists. The fact that this thing was created by someone, by holy people, hundreds of years ago, and it was done by people, obviously there's a lesson. There's a limud. It opens up a new insight, a new dimension into the halach, into the concept, which otherwise you never would have heard about. It's interesting. Adoshim is something very powerful. It's the first mourner's food in the Torah. Food. Judaism is all about food, right? That's what Mary Yaakov, my cousin, says. It's all about food. Adoshim was one of the earliest Jewish foods in the Torah. I mean, anything come before Adoshim? What came before Adoshim? Think about it. Where do we find food? Where do we find a very specific food being served? Malki Tzedek Melech Sholim Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin, bread and wine. Okay, but that's a very basic staple. That's not very sad because everyone needs bread and wine. That's very basic. Show me an exotic food. Okay, you're not going to find a rimoin. Okay, that you're not going to find that. That's a modern thing. We eat pomegranates on a Rosh Hashanah, which have many mitzvahs which multiply. But lentils really goes back to the earliest times. Lentils goes back to the death of Avraham Avinu. Not eggs. Lentils, and thus, Rabbi Yisai, could I please ask? I asked so many times. For decorum, it's very hard to compete. So we have very limited time. We want to try to learn a few things. Question: so lentils is something
matzah
which
by lot,
no. What
matzah by lot, matzah off by
lot, loads of matzah. What does it say by lot? No.
Matzah
no.
So off by lot. Term yishkavu
anchei
by sidon.
Then it was Pesach.
It was Pesach. Okay, right. Okay, but the matzah is a basic food. Matzah. But talk about exotic foods. It's very significant. And therefore, if the fact that we do not, therefore, Chodesh Nisan, if we really appreciate what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that it is a Zman of Geula, the Nisan Negalu uvenisan asidin lihigoyal, one is not allowed to deliver Hespedim, one is not allowed to be inside the entire Chodesh Nisan. So, you know, there's something to it. You understand, you don't eat lentils during Chodesh Nisan. And we do eat lentils. You never heard anyone, you can't go to a wedding, lentil soup. No, you never heard of anyone holding back. But at least it opens up our minds to appreciate such a concept. Okay, next unique minhag. And everyone knows that we do not recite Mizmor L'Soida Erev Pesach. We do not recite Mizmor L'Soida during the 7 days of Pesach. Why not? Because the Karban Toida has 40 breads. 10 of those 40 breads are Chometz. Chometz. And therefore it is forbidden to eat Chometz on Pesach, and the Karban Toida, there's no chiv, there's no set time to bring a Karban Toida. You can bring a Karban Toida whenever you want. Therefore, you're not allowed to bring a Karban Toida on Pesach. Shudu kevashmoy. So therefore, you cannot bring the bread. So now, why can't you bring the Toida Erev Pesach? You can eat Chometz until the fifth hour. So what's the problem? The answer is because since normally you're allowed to eat the breads the entire day and the following night, Chazal said, any time when you have a limited time, the time is limited, then we do not want you bringing the Karban Toida. Even though technically you can do it, but it's not right because you're limiting, since the time is being limited, you may not be able to finish the breads within the short amount of time that you have until the fifth hour. So better don't put yourself in this situation. Lo lidei nisoyon, velo lidei vizoyon. If you put yourself in a difficult situation, it's more often than not, you're going to come lidei bizoyon, you're going to fail the test, and it will be a disgrace. Kadoshim are going to have to be burnt, and that's not something which Chazal wanted. Therefore, being that, the Mizmor L'Soida, is the Mizmor which corresponds to the offering of the Karban Toida, a Mizmor L'Soida, Ruel Hashem Kol Haaretz. We, the common man here, does not say Mizmor L'Soida, Erev Pesach, and the entire Chol HaMoed, the entire and Chol HaMoed Pesach, we don't say it either.
In Tehillim, we cannot say.
What?
Tehillim Kuf Mizmor L'Toida. We cannot say in Tehillim.
If you're saying Tehillim, you can say it, but you can say it as part of the Nusach of Tehillim. But as far as Pesukei de Zimra, the selected Mizmorim that I recited as part of the Pesukei de Zimra and Shacharis that we omit. So here is something very interesting. He brings down this Minog in the name of who? The Ramah. The Ramah says not to say it, period. You don't say it, period, like I just told you. But he brings down the ayin in the base Yosef. Okay, it's the Shulchan Aruch. Omnam Yesh Shanohagu. He cites, not like the Ramah, that you just skip two words. You start, Haru La Hashem Kol Haaretz. How can you omit the entire Mizmar? So just don't say those two words. Mizmar L'Soda. Don't say Mizmar L'Soda. But start, Haru La Hashem Kol Haaretz. Very interesting. Now, why is that so interesting? Don't we have a principle that says, Kol Psuka, Lepaske Moshe, Anan Loi Paskina. You're not allowed to start in the middle of a pasuk, especially when you're davening, when you're laning, when you're doing something like that. Now, obviously, Tehillim is not Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that principle applies to Chumash, to Chamishei Chumashei Torah. But does it extend over to Nevi'im? Does it extend over to Ksuvim, to Tehillim? I think many people argue L'Chaira does. It does extend over. If you're saying...
It's not
Karbanos. This is Pesukei de Zimra. Pesukei de Zimra. You're stopping in the middle of the Pasuk. Mizmor L'Soda, Ruel Hashem Kol Haaretz. It's the middle of the Pasuk, the first Pasuk. What? On a Shalom Fadim, but you don't bring a Karban Toida on Pesach. It's very interesting that the Beis Yosef quotes such a minhag. Then you taka should, you know, a person should not deviate when he does the entire year round. You do say that Mizmar. Just leave out two words. Very interesting. Okay, next minhag. Next minhag is...
Usually the Sephardim say...
Okay, when is a good time to get married? When is a good time to get married? Anytime. Any day, any night, anytime, right? Just do it. Just jump in, right? Jump into the hole. Anytime. However, it was the minhag in... In Tveria, listen to this. People would fast. No, in the ancient times, people would fast Erev Pesach. It was no joke. Erev Pesach was a tainus. Tainus b'chorma. If you were firstborn, you fasted. There was no heter of going making a siyum in order to break your fast. It didn't work like that. Okay. Today is a modern day. We are very generous, and therefore you go to a siyum, you don't have to fast. If you can't go to shul, so go listen to the telephone. Just tell today, it's very easy today. Everyone has a cell phone. So you ask someone, you go to shul, just turn on the phone, and I can listen to the sim over the phone. Very easy. Remember, people used to go away. They used to go, and they were traveling. They were going to a program and somewhere in Arizona and this and that. They're going to be on a plane. They're going to miss a sim. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Oh, so worried. They're losing sleep over this. They're not going to have a sim. So you go, easy as pie, you go on the telephone. You tell me on the airplane, they don't have telephone, no service when you're in the air. I don't know, maybe not, I don't know. So what do? You give tzedakah to very makel. If you can't go make a seam yourself, you can't. So you give a few dollars to tzedakah, you redeem your fast. So that's a b'di'evet. It seems that in ancient times, they didn't do this. They didn't play around with this. You fast is you fast. The only thing you can do to break your fast is if you go to a wedding. When better to get married? This is so bizarre to us, right? Right? When better to get married than after Sreif Aschametz? You burn the chametz, and then you put on your tuxedo, right? You put on your tuxedo, and you go to Chinka for a wedding. What a great way to celebrate Erev Pesach. Nothing better to do. Nothing better to Erev Pesach. What?
A new strefa.
Nothing better to Erev Pesach. But it seems in Tveria, the minig was, anyone that was planning to get married in the month of Nisan, we would tell them, do us a favor, don't get married. If you were scheduled to get married in the beginning of Nisan, the first 15 days, they would tell them, do everyone a favor, delay your wedding, postpone it until Erev Pesach, get married Erev Pesach. Obviously, the weddings in those days were not lavish, anything near. It was like a bris at most, right? Get married Erev Pesach. So you'll do the Oila Matoiva, the firstborns. You'll invite a few firstborns, and you'll get married. You'll invite a few firstborns. The Oilam will go to your wedding, the firstborns, and by going to your wedding, they will not have to fast. Because that is a significant reason not to fast if they participate in your wedding. To make a siyum, it's not enough. To give money to tzedakah, that's not enough. But to go to a wedding, that's significant. That's a significant simcha which will exempt the firstborns from fasting. So you never heard this minig, right? I certainly didn't. Minig yoshan b'tveria sheyemanichim kol hachasunois. All the weddings shall soif hachoyev of the winter, the end of the winter, ad le'erev Pesach v'oz hoyoisin hachasunois v'habechoyrim hoyu bohim lachasuna. The al yidei zeh lo hayu mis'anim. Okay, talk about bizarre, huh? That's what they did. We just don't relate to their society. Very interesting. Okay, next unique minog. Ancient minog. Firstborns, because Hashem did not. There was a din.
They
were a din. There are many interpretations. It started prime time. The Gemara. I don't know how back, but.
Like brought down in the Gemara?
No, it's not. It's not brought down in the Gemara anywhere. But it seems that it's one of the oldest minhagim. Did they do it during the time of the Gemara? Possibly they did. But it's not recorded in the Gemara. It's a very ancient minhag. And the minhag was much stronger than it is today. Because today we're very generous, we don't fast, we go to a siyum. But in those days it was very clear that the minhag, there was no exemption. What?
I don't know.
But is it clear that it was the history books, the Svarim which record Chuvis, record records of events that took place going back in time of Rashi. There are certain things which later, much later, very recently, within 300 years, became too hard to fast. It became, yeah. Became too hard to fast. People are weak. People are weak. And it became a sakana. It became a sakana that you go into the seder on an empty stomach and you drink 4 cups of wine and you eat matzah, the kazesim matzah. People would die. They would get deathly ill. So Chazal said, this kind of thing, gotta cut this out. Can't cut it out. There's an minakadma to fast, but ace lasai. So they decided, so the solution is we should make siyumim. I'm making a seem it's enough of a simcha for us that we can exempt the fast day. But before the Chazal came up with this technique of making siyumim in Tveria, there was no exception. In Tveria, it seems that they already sensed it was too difficult for people to fast, and instead of making a siyum, they asked the people who got married that time of the year to get married Erev Pesach in order to allow people who needed to fast to be exempt so that they can go into the Seder healthy and have a healthy Seder, should not be a burden on society when they get sick. Like today someone gets sick, it's not my problem, it's not your problem. The insurance is paying for it, right? The person is in the hospital, v'zehu, and until he recovers. Time of Chazal, a person, there are no hospitals. Someone gets sick, there's no medicine, there's no doctor. Someone gets sick, it's bikuach nefesh. And it's a big burden on everyone when someone gets sick. Not looking for trouble. Someone don't want people to get sick. You don't want people to drink 4 cups of wine. They didn't have kal in those days. They didn't have grape. They didn't have what we have. It was a big sakana. People were not healthy. People go into the seder, the moiser nefesh to drink dalakosas, the moiser nefesh to eat the matzah. And people got sick and they died. So the solution was very simple. Don't fast. Who told you to fast? Well, it's a minikadma to fast. I'm a firstborn. So we have to find a solution. So the solution was make weddings. And that way you don't have to fast. That obviously is not a solution for us in the 21st century. And it doesn't seem a solution for them 300 years ago either. 300 years ago, they made very lavish weddings. So they had a new solution. The new solution was to make a siyum. Okay, next minik. Minig is that this taka some of us do, but we don't do it 100%. And I don't know if they do this thing. There's something called, everyone knows something called matzah mitzvah. Anyone ever do this? I was very fascinated. I went, my uncle once took me when I was a little child to Schatz Bakery, Erev Pesach after Chatzos. I was very, very fascinated. It was a wild scene there. It was a wild scene there where they baked the ikar matzah. We once spent time on this last year, 2 years ago. Is that I think according to some Rishonim, the only mitzvah you can be yotzei achilas matzah is the matzah that is baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Who here today eats matzah that has been baked after Chatzos? Come on, nobody. Nobody. Okay, some do it, some do it, but some do it. Oh, they bake matzah, but who can get their hands on that kind of matzah? Those matzahs, you know how much they cost, those matzahs? Okay, first of all, chametz is also, you know, you have to be super duper careful, however careful you are, that there shouldn't be any chametz, make matzah. Yeah, well, that's called mitzvah. Called what's it called? Matzah is mitzvah. It's matzah that is baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos. According to, I think, Rashi holds a person is not yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah lel seder unless you eat matzah that has been baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos when there's a prohibition to eat chametz. The baking of the matzah has to already take place at a time when you're not allowed to eat chametz. Okay, we don't paskin like that. It would be impossible to paskin like that because we just can't do it. You cannot bake matzah for the whole Klal Yisrael Erev Pesach after Chatzos and deliver it to them. It's just impossible. Not even machine matzah. So the whole world relies upon almost all of the other Rishonim, that whole. You don't have to have matzah baked during a time when matzah is prohibited. That's why our matzah is baked from before Hanukkah, or maybe from last year. You don't know what you're getting. You get matzah from last year. It's not a joke. Who knows where the matzah comes from? However, if you can do it, and even those who disagree with Rashi, everyone agrees that there's no doubt about it, that there's a very beautiful hiddur in baking the matzah Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And that's why it's a big spiel. All the matzah factories, they bake matzah mitzvah after Chatzos, and people come, and there's obviously a limited amount of matzah they can bake during that period of time. They have to be extremely careful that there's nothing left over that will turn into chametz. Regular matzah, after 18 minutes, who cares? After 18 minutes, they blow the whistle, and they throw everything in the garbage. So any leftover dough, so it's chametz. So no, it's chametz, what do I care? It's anyone in the garbage. We win the cleaning crew, we clean up, we put down new paper, we start all over again. Erev Pesach, you got to make sure, after 18 minutes, there's nothing left over. There's nothing left over. And if you see there's something that's going to be left over and you are up to minute number 17, you know what you do with it? You put it into a special fire to make sure that it doesn't turn into chametz. It's obliterated. You have blow torches. What? No, you can't. You don't mevatel it. You do it also. No, you can't. After Chatzos, you can't be mevatel it. After Chatzos, there's no bittel. It's too late. Bittul only works until Chatzais. There's no Bittul after Chatzais. Bittul only works until Chatzais. You can't be Mevatel. You're already over. You have it in your possession. It's a very big problem. So they have to have super duper precautions. Many people, they don't even want to get involved in this. It's not even worth it for them. Precautions, how to go about doing this to make sure that there is nothing going to be left over. There's not going to be any crumbs, not going to be any little piece of dough. No, in the matzah making factory, it happens very often. Where they know. No, you're not. No, you know, you don't do that. That's not called hefker. Exactly. Look, in a regular matzah factory, what happens? The real professionals, there's really no leftovers. But when you have chaburis coming in to make matzah, when it gets to minute 18, they blow the whistle, right? They blow the whistle, the siren goes off. That's it, over. Nothing is going into the oven. Whatever did not make it into the oven is not going into the oven. And that means it's always inevitable sometimes, especially the chaburis who don't know what they're doing altogether. They come in, they take over, they make matzah together. There's going to be some people still rolling the dough who never made it into a matzah, that just never made it into the oven. It's now 18 minutes, so where does it go? It goes in the garbage. It's chametz. 18 minutes have passed, it never made it into the oven, it's chametz, it goes to the garbage. No problem. Go into the garbage, they clean everything, they put down new paper, and 5 minutes later, they start all over again. But that cannot happen Erev Pesach after Chatzos. You got to make sure that by the time when you get to 18 minutes, there's absolutely no dough left over, there are no crumbs left over, and it's very hard to do that. Yeah. So they do it. They know what they're doing. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. And people love to come and watch, and they love to come participate in this matzah, and because this is called matzah mitzvah. And when the rebbes come and this come that comes, it's a big spiel. It's a very big spiel. And when if they have a surplus and they sell it, they'll sell like for $50 a matzah. Some outrageous amount of money to buy even one matzah that was made Erev Pesach after Chatzos. All right, that's a different topic. Somebody won't talk about. Here's the word, the minig. The minig was the fuel. What fuel do you use to make the matzah? Especially the matzah Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The lulav, exactly. That was the minig. They brought the lulav and the hadas. In fact, they broke up the lulav into two parts. Half of the lulav was used to burn the chametz. And the other half of the lulav is used to make the matzois mitzvah. Today you only see half the minute. Today you see all the time now. It became popular. When I was a child, no one ever did this. I never saw this as a child. But today everyone does it. They save the lulav, and they burn the lulav with the chametz. The truth is, they're supposed to use the lulav to help burn the chametz. Today, the lulav is not helping me burn the chametz. It's just making a mess. It's not really burning the chametz. But in any event, people, they come, they bring the lulav to the burning of the chametz. But the real meaning is, half the lulav goes to burn chametz, and the other half goes to make matzah. So you go to matzah mitzvahs. A lot of the matzah factories today are not wood. They're made, they're gas. Okay, today it's probably going to be impossible in America today to make a new matzah factory where you can use wood or coal as fuel. It's probably illegal. They'll shut you down so fast. The only ones that are still using wood or coal are those that have been grandfathered in from 100 years ago. Shots of matzah, what? They're probably grandfathered in. I don't know, maybe there's a way to do it. But there's no. But certainly, the matzah factories, which are just you know, they set up shop overnight in someone's garage, someone's basement. No way, it's not going to happen today.
It's much easier with gas.
Of course, much cheaper. It's much cheaper. It's much easier. It's much more efficient. It's safer. Everything is good, but it doesn't taste as good. If you have a real old-fashioned brick oven with coal. Or even special, you know, this is not your ordinary lumber. You're not lumber yard. You have to have dried wood from certain exotic types of wood imported from some part of the country. Supposedly, this is a real product. You're producing a piece of matzah. Wow, this is a piece of matzah. The oven is a unique oven. The fuel is unique. Today, America, it's not set up anymore. They're chalishing to shut down Shatz Matzah factory. The government would do anything they can to shut it down because it's poison for the environment. And it's a big mess. However, they can't, because it's been grandfathered in. Since this was legal according to the law 100 years ago, whenever they made it, that's the only way you baked in those days. Coal, they didn't have all these fancy things today, new technologies. So that's it. It's here to stay. If you ever watch, they had coal deliveries. I pass that block every so often to go to Arvidas. Shatz and Matzah factory, they have these big trucks that come and deliver coal. And it's mess, a big mess. It's a big mess. They schlep. What? The schlep, very dusty, it's filthy. Very dusty, filthy, very filthy. And it makes a ton of pollution, It's very bad for a residential area to have, right in the heart of Kensington, to have such a place that's producing this poison within a whole area from Hanukkah on, going nonstop. Non-stop polluting.
That's why we're lucky that Trump didn't sign the global initiative on
coal.
On coal, on war.
Okay, but you know, all the Askanim will fight tooth and nail to prevent the government from shutting it down. But if you think about it, from Hanukkah on, 24/7, almost 24, not mamas 24/7, but they're putting into they're burning coal non-stop there, and it's not a healthy thing for people in the neighborhood. It's heavy-duty stuff. You know, these are commercial ovens. I mean, big ovens, non-stop. It's not something that we'd be very happy to live next door to Shatz and Matzah factory. And they would be very happy. They should replace the ovens with gas ovens. Okay, all the new matzah factories today are all gas ovens. They're very efficient. They're very clean. They're very... What?
Is that why some matzahs are cheaper?
No. Whatever, people, the customer is willing to pay. The price is only the fault of the customer. If we're willing to pay, they'll charge. It has nothing to do with any... What?
Yeah, $27 a pound there. $14 a pound.
Outrageous. Totally outrageous.
$14 is not...
It's the customers who are willing to pay. That's what it's all about. If you're willing to pay, they'll charge you. It's not the store that's at fault. It's not the factory that's at fault. It's the customer... as at fault, who's willing to pay. Yes, and you should know, it wouldn't be a joke. If Chazal were around today, they would...
Why is there such a big difference in price in terms of, is it something to do with the cash or something?
No, well, sometimes yes. Sometimes yes, and sometimes it's just, they have a reputation. People like Shatz and Matzah. It has a reputation. You go to a hotel, they advertise in the Jewish press and FJJ, come to our, they'll write in the fine print, Shatz and Matzah. We have Shatz. Somehow, they have a reputation. They have a name, a brand name. Coca-Cola. It's a brand name. Pupa Matzah. The thin is supposed to be very, very super thin. It's a brand name, okay? So people who are fed up paying these crazy prices, you'll be very pleasantly surprised that the competition that's half the price is just as good. It's just as good. And if you don't want to pay these crazy prices, it's not so bad to buy machine matzah. It's even more, for everyone will tell you without batting an eyelash that machine matzah is more kosher, it's more halachically kosher than hand matzah. That's a given today. That's a no-brainer today. Maybe go back 100 years ago, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It was mamash chametz d'orais sometimes. But today, the machine matzahs, without a shaila, there's no chashash, there's much less of a chashash chametz. The issue is the lishma issue. That's an old shaila. Can you do a lishma by pressing a button? They do partial soup, but those matzahs, they're like $14, $15 a pound. That's the high end. And you can probably get machine matzahs that are just as kosher, if even less than that. Okay, so you want to pay $30 a pound matzah, you want to pay. Listen, that's how it is. Some people want to buy a Mercedes. You want to buy a Mercedes. You know, people you want to have to find. All right, we're out of time. We'll pick up next time.
Only the first